All right, Jabosai, good morning, everyone. Let us begin another beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Hei 65, and we are picking up Emeretz Hashem on the bottom of Samech Dalet Amud Beis. We'll begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors, for the month of Tishrei, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating all the Shirim and Drashos this month in memory of their parents. Tzvi Hirsch ben Yosef HaKoin, Yentl Mindel Bas Tavit HaLevi, Bunim Tzvi ben Chaim, and Devorah Bas Yisrael Yoel. The shiur is also dedicated by my family, in memory and my grandfather on the occasion of his yard site, Reb Menachem Mendel ben Levi David HaKoin. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos will have an aliyah, and the family's a nechama. And with that, let us begin. So we are picking up Emeretz Hashem, on the bottom of 64B, the bottom of Samech Dalet Amud Beis, and Ve'in Ma'avirin Ala Ochlin, Amar Mar. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. So let's remember again, we were discussing this very dramatic story with Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Gamliel. So remember again, one of the things that the Gemara says that we learned, that Rabbi Eloi learned from this episode with Rabbi Gamliel, was Ein Ma'avirin Al Ha'ochlin. That if you find food lying on the ground, you cannot just leave it there. Rather, you have to go ahead and pick it up. Remember again, that's what occurred over here with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eloi. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar Ve'in Ma'avirin Al Ha'ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Mishra Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai said as follows. The Gemara says, Lo Shana Ela Bedaros Harishonim She'en Benos Yisrael Prutos Bikshafim. This is only true in earlier generations when the Jewish women were not steeped in sorcery. So Rabbi Yochanan, remember again, this is actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, I'm sorry, actually not yet. Aval b'doros ha'achronim, shebinos yitzol prutos b'kshafim ma'avirim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so apparently, so the use of loaves of bread in sorcery was a common thing. So it says the Gemara, in general, if you see a food item lying on the ground, you wouldn't just pass by it, but you would go ahead and pick it up. But says the Gemara, but now that unfortunately, again, even the Jewish women are so steeped in sorcery, if you find a loaf of bread on the ground, don't pick it up, leave it there. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, Tana shleimin ma'avirin, psisin ein ma'avirin. So the Gemara says, when do you have to be concerned about sorcery? That's only with whole loaves, complete loaves. But apparently, again, pieces of bread were not commonly used in sorcerous practices or sorcery practices, and therefore there is no concern. Amar Rav Asi Rav Ashi, v'apsisin la'avdin, is that true? That people don't perform sorcery with pieces of bread? V'aksiv v'techalalena osi alami, Bishali sorim ube besuse lechem. So we'll say the Gemara over quotes the pasuk from Yecheskel giving musr to Klal Yisrael and says, "You have profaned me, my people." Bishali sorim be besuche lechem literally means with a handful of barley and with pieces of bread. So ultimately, again, the pasuk here is making a reference to sorcery, and it sounds like that sorcery is performed with pieces of bread. To which the Gemara says, no, the shakli ba'agrayhu. In that case, the Navi is saying, you engage in sorcery practices for just a piece of bread. It's not that the sorcery was being done with the bread, but in this context, this piece of bread was given as payment for the act of sorcery. So it's just an interesting idea of the Gemara saying that even though, technically speaking, the halacha is ein ma'avirin ala ochlin, if you see food on the ground, you do not leave it there. You have to pick it up. But apparently, Chazal said when there was a concern about sorcery, which was a concern, so ultimately, again, you will leave the bread in place. Amar Reb Sheshes Mishum Reb Elazar ben Azaria, top of Samechei, both say such an incredible Gemara. Yochol ani liftar as kala olam kula min hadin. So the Gemara says, Reb Sheshes says Reb Elazar ben Azaria, I could exempt the entire world from judgment. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Yecholani liftar lit on al kol Yisrael lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu davar sheyifteru kulon medina la asid lavo lomar shein shikurim ve'ein nitpasin alavonam. So what's happening over here is as follows. Rabbi Ben Azaria says, you know, I can advance a defense of Klal Yisrael in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will save Klal Yisrael from any prosecution at the hands of the Beis Din Shel Ma'alah. How could I defend even the sinful behavior of Klal Yisrael? miyom shecharav beis hamikdash ad achshav shenemar lechim shimi na zos aniya v'shikores v'lo miyayin. Supposedly quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshaya, where Yeshaya once again speaks to a rebellious Jewish people. Listen to me, you downtrodden aniya v'shikores and drunk people v'lo miyayin. But you're not drunk from wine. So what's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying the same way that we said before in yesterday's daf, that a shikur, that someone ultimately, again, who is drunk, is potter from tefillah, doesn't have to daven. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah essentially says, Klal Yisrael is drunk from their tzaras, overwhelmed from their tzaras. In the same way that when someone is drunk, they do things that don't make any sense. But at the same time, we understand that what they're doing is not a true reflection of their self, but rather they just lack the correct capacity to make good decisions. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Klal Yisrael has been so overwhelmed by the enormity of their circumstances since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that sometimes they act in foolish ways. They do terrible things, but lest you think that that's who they really are, they're like the shikr. They're like the drunk individual who sometimes does nonsensical things. But that's not really who they are. So the Gemara says, is that true? That a drunk person has no responsibility for his actions? Meisvei, shikr, mekcho mekach, umemkar umemkar. But let's listen to this halacha. A shikr, someone who's drunk, if he sells something, it's a bona fide sale. Right? Or I should say, if he purchases something, it's a bona fide purchase. And if he sells something, it's a bona fide sale. Avar avera sheish b'misa. B'misa also. If he commits an avera which has a death penalty, we execute him. The Gemara says, Malkus also. If he does something which warrants Malkus, we'll give him Malkus. Klalo shel davar hareyu kipikeach l'chol dvarav. So we'll say the general klal is that a person who is shikra, a person who is drunk, is considered to be like an able individual for all purposes. Elo shepater minat tfila. Now they will say, so interestingly enough, it's not the pshat that halacha says that a drunk person lacks capacity. It's that a drunk person is potter from davening. That's the essence over here. In other words, we assume that even when a person is drunk, they have capacity. This is part of the general motif of Adam Muad Li'olam. A person has perpetual responsibility. This is a cornerstone of Yiddishkeit. You know, we do not believe in a defense that says you are a victim of circumstance. We have that. That's the concept of ones rachmona patre. There is such a thing as ones. There is such a thing as extenuating circumstances beyond your control. But that's a very narrow sliver of life. Most of life is adam mu'al li'olam. You're responsible. Whatever happens in your life, you are responsible for that. And that's true, the Gemara says, even if you're a shikr, even if you're drunk, the only situation where drunkenness exempts you from something is by davening. And that, of course, makes sense because tefillah is ka'omer lifnei ha-melech. Tefillah is like you're talking to the king. And it wouldn't be appropriate to speak to a king when you're inebriated. So Gemara says, you're right. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? What ma yicholani liftar dekamar? When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I could exempt Klal Yisrael, right, from din, from judgment, since the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What does that mean? Midin tfila. Okay, so I will say a little bit of a narrower scope. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I could go ahead and exempt Klal Yisrael from liability for not davening with proper kavono since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That I could do. How could I exempt Klal Yisrael from liability since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for tfila? Because they're like a drunk. They've been so overwhelmed by their circumstances that they couldn't daven with kavana. So you will say, what's interesting over here is as follows. We saw this in Maseches Brachos, that not davening with kavana, or I should say davening without proper kavana, is considered to be in the eyes of Chazal a serious transgression. Comes on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, I have a defense for Klal Yisrael. What's the defense for Klal Yisrael? Ultimately, again, they're like a shikr. Like a shikr. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they are overwhelmed and inebriated by the difficulties of their circumstances, and as such are unable to daven with proper kavana. So he doesn't mean to exempt them from liability in all areas of life, just liability in the area of tefillah. So I just want to point out something very incredible. You know, this notion of defending Klal Yisrael. Right, being the kind of person who defends the klal is an incredible, incredible yisod. Because we'll see, you know, on any given day, there's a lot of negative things that anyone could say about Klal Yisrael. You know, we're a very diverse people, and there's a lot of different segments, a lot of different kinds of people, so it's always easy to malign. It's always easy. And again, I don't mean malign Klal Yisrael as a whole, but on any given day, there's some chilek of Klal Yisrael that is probably not doing what they're supposed to be doing, because we're human beings. So the shaila is, how do you act towards that? What do? Do you talk about it? Do you engage in Lashon Hara? Do you malign? Do you speak negatively? Do you cast a negative light? Or do you find the defense? You'll say sometimes you can't find the defense. So what do you do when you can't find the defense? What do you do? Just don't say anything. If you can find the chap, then great. And we'll say this is very important, because the truth is, again, just for a moment, like, I think for many of us, so we see what's happening with our brothers and sisters in some of the communities in New York, and the incredible Chilul Hashem that's being created by I truly believe it's individuals. It's not reflective of mass groups. But again, so sometimes it's hard to be Malam Yitzchus. If you can't be Malam Yitzchus, don't say anything. There's never anything to be gained by speaking negatively about another Jew. Never anything to be gained by maligning Chas V'Shalom another Jew. And you have to be so incredibly careful. Try to be Malam Yitzchus to whatever degree you can, but if you can't find the Limud Tzchus, Shtika, silence, is often the best way forward. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Lo Shana Elo Shalot, Gila Shekruso Shalot. So I'll say, this is fascinating. When is it true that a shikr is responsible for his actions, right? Mekcho, mekcho, mekach, memkaro, memkar. That's only if you're not lot drunk. But if you get lot drunk, aval higil l'shech ruso shalot, patra mikulam. We'll say if you get lot drunk, then by definition, again, you are considered to lack all capacity. And if you're considered to lack all capacity, then halacha lemaisa, your actions are legally insignificant. And we'll say, what's lot drunk? So we'll say, so we know this. Again, lot drunk is when a person is so drunk that they can't even tell the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. Lot is a paradigmatic example of that, as he drank so much that he didn't even realize that he was engaging in an act of incest. So that's called lot drunk. So we'll say this halacha. Let me just tell you this halacha quickly. I'm coming back. But this halacha, we'll say, is actually quite interesting. This idea of shtuye yayin. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Simen. Oh, 1 second. I'm sorry. Shulchan yayin. This is in Simen Tzadik Tes. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Sorry. Should have had this prepared. My apologies. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Samech Tes, Sif Aleph, writes as follows. Shasi Yayin Kedei Revias, Al Yispalel, Ad Shiyasir Yuno. If you drink a Revias of wine, you really shouldn't daven until the effects wear off. Now, both sides, of course, what is that doing? That's presupposing that a revius of wine has an effect on you. So if you drink a revius of wine, and remember again, Chazal's wine, Gemara's wine, much stronger than our wine. So a person drinks a revius of wine, you really shouldn't daven until you know that the effects of the wine have dissipated. Vim shasi yoser. So what happens if you drink more than a revius of wine? Imhu yachol adabr lifnei amelech. If you're able to talk in front of the king, you would be able to talk in front of the king. Im ispalo tefila so tefila. If you daven, your davening is appropriate. Vim in yachol adabr lifnei amelech. Im ispalo tefila so to'iva. V'tzarech lachzor ulispalo kishi yasser yeino me'il. So we'll say this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If you drink a revius of wine, you should really wait until the effects of the wine dissipate. But if you daven, you're totally fine. The litmus test for a proper davening is, or I should say, a legally significant davening is, are you able to speak in front of the king? In other words, we'll say, would you be able to go ahead and give a talk to, you know, at work? Would you be able to make a presentation? So if you're able to make a presentation, you're able to talk with Nea Melech, able to talk with your customers, with your patients, then einachinami, then your tefillah is a tefillah. But if a person drank so much that they would be unable to speak before the melech, you'd be able to, you're unable to carry on a proper, coherent conversation, then you are not permitted to daven. And if you daven, your davening is not acceptable. In other words, we'll say it's ki'ilu, you did not daven. That tefillah is not a valid tefillah, to the point that halacha lemaaseh, when the effects of the wine wear off, you would be obligated to go ahead and daven again.
That's
pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. As the boss, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chanina, kolamafik magin b'shas gaiva, sogrin v'chosmin tsaros ba'ados. What's an interesting phraseology. Rabbi Chanina says, whoever goes ahead and mapik. If you look at Rashi, hamapik magin, hamavir tfilas magin avram she'ino omra. So we'll say if a person goes ahead and passes over, which means a person passes, allows the opportunity to tefillah, for tefillah to pass by, b'shas gaiva. We'll say b'shas gaiva in this context means when he is drunk. So according to the way this is translated is, a person doesn't daven when they're drunk. But the lashon is, a person allows the opportunity for magin avram, shmona esrei, to pass them by when they are drunk. Chos min saros ba'ado. Ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally seals saras for this person. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents saras from happening to this individual. Shnei emar, gaiva afike meganim sagar chosim tsar. So my mashma da hai afik lishna da avurehu. We'll see, I didn't know that afik is lashon of avure, allowing something to pass. Tichsev, because Gemara over here quotes the pasuk, "Achai bagdu kimonachal keafik nachalim yaavoru." Rabbi Yochanan Amar, "Kol she'ino mafik itmar." Rabbi Yochanan says, "No. It means kol she'ino mafik. It means anyone who does not. Rabbi say afik means to go out. Anyone who does not let out a tefillah while he is drunk, Hakadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and restrains negative things from occurring to him as well." My mashu the high mafik lashan digilui. Rabbi say, "I know that mafik means to allow something to become revealed." Tichsiv quotes the pasuk, "Vayira afiki mayim vayigalu mosdos tevel." Michti kray mashu bein lamar. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the pasuk, so each individual opinion brings a pasuk that supports it. We'll say, so remember, they seem to both be saying the same thing, which is that if you're drunk, it's good not to daven. And actually, if you restrain yourself from davening, if you don't daven while you're drunk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards you for that. They're just interpreting it a different way. The first opinion says, kol ha-mapik, or kol she'ino mapik, whoever goes ahead and, or kol ha-mapik, whoever allows the opportunity for tefillah to pass and does not say it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him. Second opinion says, whoever restrains the tefillah from coming out while he's drunk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him. And again, both bring psukim to support their interpretation of apik. So the Gemara says, "My benayo, what's the practical difference?" But Pashas, they're both saying the same thing. Don't daven when you're drunk. And if you hold yourself back from davening when you're drunk, HaKadosh Baruch will be happy with you. So my benayo, ike benayo, Rav Sheshes. We'll say that Nafkamina will be the case of Rav Sheshes, not but Rav Sheshes. This is interesting. Rav Sheshes, Maser Shinasi L'Shamei. So we'll say, when Rav Sheshes drank a little bit, what he would do is, literally he would give over his sleep to his attendant. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Maser Shinasi L'Shamei, Amar lo, Hanichani Lishon Ma'at, U'kishayagia Zman Tvila Hakitzani. When Rav Sheshes would drink a little bit, he would say, "I'm going to sleep a little bit, but do me a favor, wake me up for davening. Wake me up for davening." And what happens? The Gemara says, "Rabbi Chanina da Amar Avurei boy lesley Rav Sheshes va'asul ispalel ad sheya'ar me'ilav." So we'll say, according to one opinion, Salach alamayis, Rav Sheshes didn't do the right thing. Rav Sheshes should have slept off the effects of the alcohol until he would be able to awaken himself. Whereas the second opinion will hold that no, Halach alamayis, what Rav Sheshes did was correct. Mar isley Rav Sheshes umar lesley Rav Sheshes. Good. Amar b'chibar ashi amrav. It's an incredible halacha. So now, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, the name of Rav, anyone whose mind is not settled should not daven. You want to hear this? That Lamaisa person should only daven when they have a settled mind. A settled mind. So the Gemara says, where do we know this? From Shnei Emar. So we'll say, in other words, a person should have a certain state of like internal or inner equilibrium before they go ahead and they daven. Shene Emar, Batsar al Yora. Because the pasuk says, literally again, in times of difficulty, batsar, when you are in distress or in narrow straits, al Yora, you shouldn't paskin. The Bosan says something very interesting. The Gemara sounds like over here is quoting a pasuk. Rashi, however, quotes this and says, Batsar al Yora, this is incredible. Badakti achar hamikrazeh, ve'ema b'cholaksuvim. Vishema b'sefer ben siruhu. So this is a dramatic statement. Rashi says, the Gemara sounds like it's quoting a pasuk. Rashi says, I looked through all of Tanakh. There is no pasuk like this. It's fascinating, right? There is no pasuk like this. He said, maybe it's in the sefer ben sira. So we'll say, remember again, sefer ben sira was also a sefer of various types of collections of teachings and different insights into the way the world works. So maybe it's not a pasuk, but rather maybe it's just a statement. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, b'yom d'rasach lo matzli. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Chanina, on a day when he would get angry, he wouldn't daven. I was like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine not davening on a day that you got angry? You got angry some part of the day. I'm not going to daven today. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar, because he said, b'tzar al yoreksiv. Because the pasuk says, when times are difficult, you shouldn't paskin. So we'll say, even though we're talking about psak halacha, it's understanding it to be a statement that a person should really engage in tefillah when a person has a settled mind. So the same way you can only paskin halacha with clarity of thought, clarity of mind, inner equilibrium, so too tefillah should really only be conducted in the same state as well. Mar ukva biyoma deshusa. Lo hava nafik lebedina. Surah Mar Ukva on Yom Deshusa. Look at Rashi. What's Yom Deshusa? Ruach deromis min hashavis ba vechazaka. On a day of a southern wind. So apparently the southern wind is a very harsh wind. So on a day of the southern wind, so Mar Ukva would not go to the Beis Din. He wouldn't go to Paskin Halacha on a day of a southern wind. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Hilchasa bayot silusa ki yom da'astana. Because Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak would say Hilchasa, the paskining of Halacha, the deciding of halacha, bayit silusa, ultimately, again, look at Rashi for just a moment. Silusa das tzilula requires clarity of thought, kiyoma de'istana, like a day of a northern wind. So apparently when the northern wind blows, the clouds go away, the sun shines bright. So the same way that the day of a northern wind, the horizon is bright, so too to be able to paskin halacha, one requires absolute clarity of mind. Amar Abaye, I amar li aim karev kuscha lo tanai. So Abaye said, you know, if my mother would ask me to pass the kusach, I wouldn't be able to learn well that day. Now we'll say, now what is that? Look at Rashi. Lo tanoi, lo hayisi, karv kusra, afilutziva. So we'll say, what does it mean, pass the kusach? Pass the kusach means like mamish, like something like pass the milk. Pass the coffee. Pass the kusach. So if my mother asked me to pass the kusach, Abaye would say, or Abaye said, lo tanoi, Rashi says, lo hayisi shorni kimoshe shanisi. I wasn't able to learn with the full depth that I had been able to learn before. Well, so what the Gemara is going to get into now is something really fascinating, which is a discussion about the impact of distractions. Distractions. And how easily, I'm going to tell you, this Gemara, by the way, is very affirming. Because I think a lot of us struggle with distractions. And sometimes we get a little bit upset at ourselves. Like, literally, I feel like I have like the attention span of a peanut. And why can't I just stay focused? Something buzzes, right? The moment that something buzzes, my attention is diverted to that thing. My phone, your phone, someone else's phone, a phone in the next state. You know, whenever it happens, if it buzzes, my watch buzzes, my pocket buzzes, my phone buzzes, my car buzzes, everything buzzes. And the moment that happens, done. I'm done. It doesn't make a difference, right? My kid could be talking to me. My wife could be talking to me. I could be in the middle of a nevuah, the middle of a masechta. Doesn't make a difference. Something buzzes. I'm done. And the truth is, when you take a step back and you look at it, it's so ridiculously infantile. It's so infantile. None of us are all that important that something buzzing has to go ahead and distract our attention from everything we're doing. Yet we do. So it's very affirming to see that short attention spans is not a new thing. It's not a thing. Or I should say short attention, that's the wrong thing. Distractions. And falling prey to distractions. And the idea that we are easily distracted. Perhaps Abaye says, you know, if my mother would ask me for something, my mind would be on serving my mother. Now, both say this happens to be a nice distraction of kibbutz aim. But he was saying, if my mother asked me to pass the kusach, that's what I would be focused on. That's what I'd be focused on, to the point that my learning wasn't the same. It's an incredible thing. Amarava, ikart sasan kina lo tanai. If I'd be bitten by a louse, right, or I have a louse in my clothing, I wouldn't be able to learn. Okay, so that one's a bit more understandable. Marbury Dravina avdala ime zayin mani la zayin yome. So let's say Marbury Dravina, his mother made him seven, or arranged for him, seven sets of clothing for all 7 days. So you have to understand, that's an incredible novelty, to have seven articles of clothing for each day of the week. His mother did this to him, so did this for him, so that ultimately, again, his clothing would not be impacted by lice. So I just want to point out, so you see over here, so whether it's lice, whether it's mother keeping kusach, I will say how important it is to try to structure our time to be free from distraction. You have to be roa asanolad. Most of us are easily distractible. So be roa asanolad, figure it out. So again, if I have time to learn, I carve out time to learn, so go ahead and figure out how could I be free from distraction during that time. But you have to plan it, because if I don't plan it, I'm going to get distracted. I want to have time with my family, figure out how to make it distraction free. But you have to plan it, because if you don't plan it and you just trust yourself not to get distracted, you will fail. We all fail like that. Being distraction-free in whatever you're doing in life requires an incredible amount of pre-planning and then ultimately, again, discipline to keep to that planning. So the Gemara goes, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Lo ivri laila el lishinsa. Nighttime was created for learning. It's created for learning. I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So I'll say, what does that mean? That nighttime was created for learning. See, I will say, the beauty of nighttime, at least in the eyes of Chazal, was there was much less going on. Right? And the world was quiet at night. So nighttime is an incredible time for learning because lemais, again, less distractions. Amrav Shimon Lakish, lo ivri sira el legirsa. The moon was only created to provide us light so as to be able to learn at night. Amri leil Rabbi Zera, mechadid in Shmaisa. So we'll say the Shmaisa. They said, Rabbi Zera, you know, your teachings are very sharp. They gave him a compliment. Your teachings are very well thought out. Amr lehu, diyamamaninhu. He said, because it's from my daytime learning. So we'll say here the Gemara says, as much as you can learn at night, and the moon is there to give you light to learn at night, lemaisa, again, learning by day, always by definition, has a greater sharpness to it. Amrili Barti Rav Chista, we'll say this how profound this is. So the daughter of Rav Chista said to her father, Rav Chista, lo boi mar menam pur purta. Listen to this. Rav Chista's daughter said to him, Father, do you want to take a little rest? You're tired, you work so hard, maybe you want to take a little nap. But listen to how profound this is. Amrila, hashta asuyomi da'arichi vikatini venenam tuva. The day is coming. The long day, which is very short, and I will be able to sleep for a long time. Rashi says over Yom Darichi, Yamim Shu Bekever Arichi Lishon VeKatini Laso B'Torah Mitzvos. The days that you sleep in the grave are very long for sleeping, but very short for dynamic spiritual activity. So I say, what a profound Gemara. So if Chista's daughter says to him, "Would you like to take a nap?" and he says, "You know what? Who has time for napping in life? The day will come where there's a very long nap, a very long day, a lot of sleeping, and very little time for spiritual dynamic activity. Let me utilize my life to its fullest." Incredible. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Anan, Paulei Diemama Anan. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, we are day laborers. Deos, which also means that ultimately, again, utilize your daytime hours in a state of maximum productivity. Try to do whatever you can to squeeze the greatest amount of meaning and accomplishment out of every day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Yosef u'Parabos, it's incredible. Rav Acha bar Acha literally means he went ahead and he borrowed and he repaid. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Yosef u'Para, haya kovelo l'shanos kach ve'kach prakim bayom, v'haya ragi alasok bayom, u'pamishaya tar b'mizonosav bayom, u'porek kavios itobal el. This is incredible. Rav Acha bar Yaakov set for himself certain learning requirements. They're both saying the truth is, there's two ways to learn this Gemara. Either he went ahead, according to Rashi, it sounds like he said, I'm going to learn X amount of material a day. And whatever he did not accomplish by day, he made up at night. The Marshon says it's not just a din, in amount, it's also a din in time. Then I will say, what kviyas, this is such an incredible yisod. What it means to be koveya itimutor, to set aside time to learn, means I will say that I set aside time for active learning. So let's say, for example, I say, you know what, I learn an hour a day. So a lot of times we think that I'm yotzei that obligation as long as I sit in the chair. So as long as I sit in the chair in front of the sefer, I fulfill my obligation. But one second. But if I'm honest, I didn't learn an hour. I learned 40 minutes. And those other 20 minutes, you know, my mind was, Meshotetos Berakia. My mind was somewhere else. So Rabbi Zira is saying, Rabbi Acha is saying, well, you have to pay that back. You owe 20 minutes. You owe 20 minutes. It's not just a din in being physically present. It's a din in being intellectually and spiritually present as well. So therefore, again, Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov would say, if I didn't go ahead and fulfill my quota by day, I made it up. And I will say, if you think about it, I was very intrigued by this because it's such an incredible way to structure one's learning. That my obligation towards my learning is not just a din in being present for a defined amount of time or a defined amount of material. It's making sure that I'm actually learning that amount of time and covered a certain amount of material. And if I did not do that, I have to keep track. So I sat for an hour, but I was only really attentive for 40 minutes. Okay, so now I owe 20 minutes. I owe 20 minutes, and I have to go ahead and pay that back later on. Incredible, incredible way to look at one's learning. First of all, we'll say it makes one much more attentive to what it is. And what am I present for? What am I really engaged in? And it creates a sense of hischaivus. My kaviyasita, when I set aside time to learn, that is a debt. That is a debt that I owe, that I make to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a pledge. And if I didn't make good on it in the first hour, and I owe 20 minutes, I'll make up to 20 minutes. Amar Lazar, haba min haderech hayispalel shloshim. We'll see an interesting gemara. If you come back from a journey, you shouldn't daven for the first 3 days after you come back from the journey. I'll say, so again, this goes back to what we were talking about before, that davening requires a certain inner equilibrium. Remember again, travel was much more intense back then. So a person comes back from a longer journey, for the first 3 days after the journey, they still may be fatigued. And therefore should not daven. Shneemar, vekabtzin alenar haba, so Father Shmuel, when he would come back from a journey, he wouldn't daven for 3 days after returning from the journey. Shmuel, lo matzli. So we'll say again, obviously we'll see that the Shulchan Aruch discusses these concepts and says, if we held ourselves to this level, then what would happen? What would happen? We would never daven. So obviously, we'll say tefillah is one of the most dramatic areas where we've seen this katnu hadoros. That there's unfortunately been a decline in the generations as we get further away from Har Sinai. So, you know, today we daven. We try to muster up as much kavanah as you can. And of course, it's always important to try to daven with kavanah. But Allah say, even in the event that I unfortunately can't have kavanah, I still have a halachic obligation to go ahead and fulfill. So the Gemara says, Shmuel amatzli v'esed de'ispe shichra. It's very interesting. Shmuel would not daven in a home where there was beer. Because apparently Shmuel was impacted by the aroma of beer. He would become intoxicated even just by the aroma. So Rapapa Lomatsi Babe said the Ispeharnasa, Rapapa wouldn't daven in a home where they were frying fish. Right? Harnasa is like fish hash. So he would not daven in a home. So either it means he didn't like the smell, or it means that he liked the smell. But Lamaisa again, it was a distracting aroma. Amri b'chanina, kol hamis pasa b'yeno, yesh bo midas konabo. So this is so beautiful. Whoever ultimately, again, is put in a good mood. Right? Mispat b'yeno, Rashi says, shemefaisin oso al davar, umisratze kishatol yor. We'll say, whoever drinks wine, and wine places him in a good mood. We'll say, it's not about like a happy drunk. We're not talking about inebriation over here. Right, Darley, I see some smiles on the Zoom chat over here. So ultimately, it's not talking about inebriation. What it means is, I'll say alcohol has a different impact on different people. So any person who ultimately, again, could go ahead and drink a little bit, and it puts them in a good state of mind. So ultimately, again, that person is divine-like in his attitude. How so? The Gemara says, Shneemar, Vayorach Hashem Asriach HaNichoach. Because we'll say the Ribbono Shel Olam also is put into a good mood when man offers up karbanos, libations, right? So again, the sochim, karbanos, amr b'chiyah, kol mesyashe b'yeno, yesh bo das ayin zekinim. We'll say ultimately, again, anyone whose mind is settled when drinking a little bit of wine has the das of 70 elders. So the Gemara says, where do we see that from? Yayin nitein ba'ayno. So we're supposed to say the gematria of wine is 70. V'sod nitan ba'ayin osios. And the word sod, secret, is also the gematria of 70. Nichnas yayin yatsa sod. So this is actually very interesting. So the way the Gemara understands this over here is the wine comes in, the secrets come out. So we'll say a person who is able to drink wine but doesn't reveal all of his secrets is obviously an individual who is a chacham, an individual who possesses a certain level of wisdom. I will say, of course, on a deeper level, the Sfarim bring down this idea of nichnas yayin yatsa sod means that many of us have incredible kiddusha that's trapped within, but for whatever the reason, are reticent to allow it to come out. Sometimes a little bit of wine breaks down unhealthy barriers. Unhealthy barriers. Because sometimes, for whatever the reason, I wall off certain kiddusha. I wall off certain holiness and certain inner beauty from coming out. Nichnas yayin, a little bit of wine comes in, sod, the true me is able to come out. Rabbi Chanan says wine was only created to provide consolation to mourners. And to give reward to the wicked. So I'll say, because again, there's nothing, it's as it's stated, that drinking wine has the ability sometimes to take the edge off life a little bit, provides a little bit of nechama. Shalim schal reshaim, wine is also very enjoyable. So they say the reshaim get their reward in olam hazeh, shne'emar, tenu shechar la'oveit. I'm Chanan bar Papa, beautiful Gemara. Any person for whom wine doesn't flow like water doesn't really have blessing in his home. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi points out over here that halacha lamaisa, it could very well be that a person is wealthy in many areas, but having wine flow freely in your home is not only a display of wealth, but it is a display of blessing. Shene Amar, Ubarich Eslach Mecha Ves Memecha. Pasuk says, Chosh Baruch will bless your bread and your water. Malechem Shenikach Bekesef Meiser, just like bread can be bought with Meiser Sheni money. Af Mayim Shenikach Bekesef Meiser. So we're talking about water that could be bought with Meiser Sheni. What kind of water could be bought with Meiser Sheni? May Nihu. Yayin, wine, but why would it call wine water? I'm a base. Inishbach babeso kamayim ikabracha ve'ilolo. To teach you that if halacha lamaisa, the wine flows like water, then there is bracha in my home. But if the wine does not flow like water, there is a lack of bracha in my home. We'll say, which of course we know, this gives birth to the beautiful minog that on Matzah Shabbos by Havdalah, we overflow the cup. We overflow the cup. There's dafka din to go and overflow the cup of wine by Havdalah because of this Gemara. The idea being that it should be a week in which wine flows like water in my home. I'm going to be loy. Was a beautiful Gemara. B'shlosh adorim adem nikar. If you want to see the true quality of a person, you can see the true quality of a person in three different ways. Bekoso, bekiso, ubekaso. And we'll say you can see the true nature of a person ultimately, again, in what happens when he drinks, right? Bekoso, how does a person act when he drinks some wine? Bekiso, how does he spend his money? Ubekaso, and when or over what does he get angry? And when he gets angry, how does he behave? So I'll say, so again, all of these things are pretty self-explanatory. So I'll say, so again, koso, the true you comes out when you drink. Kiso, how a person relates to their wealth is very telling about their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their relationship with others. And ultimately, again, Picasso, what does a person get angry over? And how does a person conduct themselves when they get angry? And others say also, what do you laugh about? Laughter was also quite profound. In other words, what is it that you find funny? Right? What is it that you find humorous? Is it the misfortune of others? Is it the mistakes of others? What a person laughs about is very telling about who they are as well. Incredible. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel. So I'll say a little bit back to Eruvin now. We'll say, so now we have another case. Case over here is as follows. You have Yisrael and the Nochri who live in an inner chatzar, and just the Yisrael in an outer chatzar. So also, if you could just imagine, this is one chatzar in front of the other. One chatzar in front of the other. The outer chatzar goes into Rosh Hasharabim. The inner chatzar is only able to go ahead and access Rosh Hasharabim by going through the outer chatzar. In the inner chatzar, you have a Yisrael and an Akum. In the outer chatzar, you only have a Yisrael. So ba ma'isef ne Rabbi. So ultimately, again, this situation came before Rabbi va'asar, and Rabbi said this asar. So what does it mean asar? That halacha la'maisa, he held that the Jew in the outer chatzar has to go ahead and lease the property rights from the nachri in the inner chatzar in order to be able to carry in his chatzar. So if ne Rabbi Chiya va'asar, and before Rabbi Chiya also said it's asar. Yosef Rabbi Rav Yosef Bishili Pirkei Rav Sheshes. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Rav Yosef Bosei. So you can see this picture. If you're following along at all in the picture books, so this is Bosei picture 232. I'm sorry, 233. Yeah, 230. No. Sorry, 231. Sorry, picture 231. Well, let's say it's a pretty self-explanatory case. You know, inner chatzar is the chatzar behind, the outer chatzar is the front chatzar, and the front chatzar ultimately, again, a batzar shasarabim. Yisrael and Nachri living in the inner chatzar, just the Yisrael in the outer chatzar. When it says that they asserted, what it means is that halacha lemaisa, the Jew in the outer chatzar cannot carry in his outer chatzar, unless, of course, he leases the property rights from the Nachri. We'll see why that is in just a moment. So what happens? So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are sitting after the Shir of Rav Sheshes. V'yosef Rav Sheshes of the Ka'amar Keman Amra Rav Lishmaisei. Whose opinion is Rav reflecting when he made the statement? In other words, why does the Jew in the outer Chatzar have to lease the property rights from the Nachri in the inner Chatzar in order for the Jew in the outer Chatzar to carry in his Chatzar? Kirabi Meir. Like Rabbi Meir, because mostly Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that what? Even one Jew and one Nachri, right? Rabbi Meir was the Tanakam in the Mishnah. Even one Jew and one Nachri, the one Jew has to go ahead and lease the property rights. Karki Shrabba Reshe. Rabbi nodded his head in agreement. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Trey Gavri Rabbi Bikrabbanon, Litu Bahai Milsa. Could it be that two great Rabbanon, like the two of you, are making a mistake in this matter? Ikar Rabbi Meir, Lamali Yisrael Bechitzona. So also remember again, Rabbi Meir holds that one Jew and one Nachri, that Jew has to lease the space from the Nachri. If that's the case, that this Brisa that you're quoting over here, that Rav's statement, is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, why do you need the Jew in the outer Chatzar at all? Right? The Jew in the outer Chatzar is totally inconsequential to this whole thing. Once you have one Jew and one Nachri, by definition, the Jew has to lease the property rights from the Nachri. Or maybe you'll say, no, Rav was just quoting the case as it came up. Or as well say, he was not going ahead and structuring the case, rather he was quoting the case as it had occurred. But they asked of Rav, what about the Jew in the inner chatzar? Right? What about the Jew in the inner chatzar? What's his status legabe carrying? V'amar lohen mutter. And I will say, interestingly enough, Rav responded that the Jew in the inner chatzar could carry without an eruv. Supposedly, now this gets strange. Now you're telling me the Jew in the outer eruv, in the outer chatzar, who's living by himself, he needs to lease the property rights from the akum. But the Jew who lives in the inner chatzar with the akum, he doesn't have to do anything to carry. So we'll say, that's clearly not Rabbi Meir. Elamai, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So, whose opinion must this reflect? It must be those of Yaakov. I ha'amar atu shnei Yisraelim osun zalza. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, when do you have to lease property rights from an akum? When there's a minimum of two Jews and one nachri. But in this case, also you have one Jew in the inner chatzar. He's living with the nachri. One Jew in the outer chatzar. So why would the Jew in the outer chatzar have to go ahead and lease the property from the akum? To which the Gemara says, Elak Rabbi Akiva, Do Amarego Hamuteres Bimkomo, Oseres Shalom Bimkomo. Oh, Rabbi Yosef, you've seen this before. Because it reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. And what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva says that Halacha Lemaisa, when you have right of passage essentially makes you like a resident. So I'll say, so now watch this. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, since the Jew in the inner chatzar has the right of passage through the outer chatzar, right? Because remember, again, that's how he gets through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's ki'ilu, like there are two Jews who reside in the outer chatzar. Oh, two Jews and one Nachri, Rabbi say. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that what? That Allah Kalamais, when you have two Jews and one Nachri, then in fact, you do have to lease the property rights from the Nachri to make an Eruv. So which the Gemara says, Lamali Nachri. So that says, why do you even need the Nachri at all? Afili Yisrael Nami. Both say, then again, halacha lemaisa. I have two Jews. Once I have two Jews, then by definition, I need an Eruv. I'm referring to Rabbi Yeshua, the Olam, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ukirabi Akiva. Rabosa, in fact, Rav's statement is a hybrid of two shitas, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say, how do those two work together? Rabbi Akiva says that when you have rites of passage, a rite of passage, it is as if what? You are a resident. Therefore, Yenabosai, Rabbi Akiva will say the outer chatzar is viewed as having two Jewish residents and one non-Jewish resident. Aye, once that happens, then comes the position of Elazar ben Yaakov and says, once you have two Jewish residents and one non-Jewish resident, you must make an Erev. Kigon she'ervu, they made an Erev. So we'll say, once the Jews made an Erev, the problem is, you have the issue of the Nachri, and once the Nachri is present, you're going to have to lease his property rights from him. The Asir, Avalekar Nachri, but if there was no Nachri, Rabosai, then lo Asir, then there would be no problem with the Erev. So Rabosai, see, interestingly enough, this will be Rav's case. So Rav's case is, again, inner Chatzar, outer Chatzar, inner Chatzar, Jew and Nachri, outer chatzar Jew. We Rav Paskin's like Rabbi Akiva, that rite of passage makes you like a resident. Therefore, I will say, when looking at the outer chatzar, the way we actually view it is how? Two Jews and one Nachri. Oh, two Jews and one Nachri, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov from the Mishnah, that whenever you have two Jews and one Nachri, and the Jews want to make an Erev, they must lease the property rights from the Nachri. Beautiful. Rabbi Eliezer Merav, Yisrael v'Nachri b'chitzona, v'Yisrael b'pinim ismahu. What happens, we'll say, if the Yisrael and the Nachri live in the inner chatzar, and in the outer chatzar, and the Yisrael lives in the inner chatzar. So as well say, it's reversed. The reverse case. Yisrael and Nachri in the outer one, so Yisrael in the inner one. Mao. How sometimes Yisrael Mishriach, the Dayer, the Mirsas Nachri, the Savra Hashta, Asi Yisrael, the Amr, the Yisrael, the Havi Kabach, Hecha. So let's listen to this. This is going back to what we saw already on Yom Tiv. That in general, Abbas say, why won't a Jew live with a Nachri alone in a chatzar? Because the Nachrim are Chashudim al Shvichus Damim. There's a concern that the Nachri may kill the Jew. So when it's the Nachri and the Jew in the inner chatzar, the Jew will be confident living in the inner chatzar with the Nachri. Why? Because Rabbi say the Jew from the outer chatzar could pop in at any time and say, hey, where is my Jewish friend? Therefore, the Nachri is not going to try anything. And since the only way to get out of the inner chatzar is through the outer chatzar, the Nachri can't say, oh, the Jew went out. For had the Jew gone out, the Jew in the outer chatzar would have seen that. Aval hacha minalei nafik azilei. But I will say, if it's the Nachri and the Jew in the outer chatzar, so perhaps, again, that could be a bit more dangerous, because if the Jew from the inner chatzar comes to check on his friends from the outer chatzar, the Nachri could always say, oh, he left. Oh, you didn't see him, he left. And therefore, again, the Nachri may be poised to harm the Jew. Oh, Dilma, hachinami mirsas. Or perhaps, again, I will say, whenever you have a Jew in chatzeros, the Nachri will always be nervous to do something to the Jew. The Savar, Hashta Asi Yisrael V'chazili. Maybe the Jew is going to see me and he's going to do something to me. Or he's going to see, maybe the Jew is going to come in and he's going to see what I've done to his fellow Jew. Amar Lei, Tein Chacham V'chakemod. He said, give to the wise one and he will be wise as well. Or as which is another way of saying, either way, we trust that the Nachri is not going to do something. So we'll say, so whether it's the Jew and the Nachri in the inner chatzar, or it's the Jew and the Nachri in the outer chatzar, the concern about Shvichus Damim is only when there aren't other Jews in close proximity. But if there are other Jews in close proximity, then we trust that the Nachri is not going to do something, for he has a fear of being discovered. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the next case of Reish Lakish. Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.